Go to overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk/online-therapy to get 20% off your first month of cognitive behavioural therapy, with weekly sessions online with a therapist, in addition to worksheets, a journal, meditation and yoga videos, and unlimited messaging. There's strong evidence that CBT can help people who hoard, and accessing therapy online can be affordable and accessible. Find out more and get your discount at overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk/online-therapy.
Now on Broadway, An Enemy of the People is a New York Times critic's pick. Jeremy Strong is one of the great actors of his generation, hails the Chicago Tribune in a performance the Wall Street Journal praises as powerfully affecting and bitterly funny. Michael Imperioli sets off sparks, cheers the Hollywood Reporter. Victoria Pedretti is luminous, raves variety. From director Sam Gold and playwright Amy Herzog, An Enemy of the People is urgent, electrifying, and haunting, declares USA Today. An Enemy of the People on Broadway through June 16th only.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome to the Overcome Compulsive Hoarding with That Hoarder podcast. I am drowning in stuff and trying to find a way out. Listen as I explore the issues and delve deep as somebody profoundly affected by hoarding disorder. Find out more, including links to subscribe to the podcast and all of my social media at overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk. Finally, I am not a doctor. I am just a hoarder doing her best. So do seek professional support if and when you need it. Hey, how are you? I hope you're doing all right. I am okay. So today I have a few things for you. I have an exciting new segment. It's not that exciting. And then I'm going to talk about the emotional impact of having to do a de-hoard in an emergency. And then I have a shout out to a podcast with a top tip for you. So start off with the, exciting is definitely going too far, with the mildly interesting new segment.
It's time for the pointless thing I found this week.
So I come across such weird stuff when I'm de-hoarding. And so I thought another fun occasional segment will be a random thing I came across in my hoard this week. It's kind of a bit similar to the weird dilemma of the week in that it's pretty specific to hoarding. The fact that I come across any of these things can only really be done by a hoarder. So, random thing. Bizarre thing, weird thing I found this week. I found a While You Are Out card from 2007.
Seriously?
Now, for international listeners, let me explain While You Are Out cards. When the postie comes with a parcel, if you're not in, they push a card through the door that says, While You Are Out, we tried to deliver a parcel on this date. To this address, here is information on how to book a redelivery. So at some point, 17 years ago, I missed the postie with a parcel, and generally you have 2 or 3 weeks to rearrange delivery. So what 2007 me thought I was doing by keeping this, I do not know, but let me tell you with confidence, it went in the bin. So, over the last few weeks, I've had a bit of a capital S situation. It has been very stressful at that hoarder's house, let me tell you. So, as you know, I have an annual gas service, which is very, very stressful, where I have to let in a gas engineer and I have to make sure that there is a path to the gas boiler so that the engineer can service it. And that's always very stressful. But I know it's coming each year and I'm getting better at dealing with it. It's still stressful, but it's improving. But then, a bit before Christmas, I got a phone call, a very friendly woman saying, oh, hi, we need to come in and do electrical testing. We will just need access to every electrical socket and light fitting. We have a space tomorrow. Can we come then? So I said, no, I'm not free tomorrow, and managed to get a few weeks thanks to Christmas. I was able to get a bit of a extension just by saying I was busy. But then, so like, whereas the gas service, they have to have access to like the kitchen and the boiler, this was every socket in every room. And oh my goodness, that is a whole other thing, isn't it? And so I booked it on the phone and then spent several days completely paralyzed, unable to take any action at all. I couldn't do anything. I knew I needed to. I knew I had an awful lot that needed to be done, but I couldn't do any of it. And then after a few days, I managed to start making progress. Because I've done an episode before on how to de-hoard in an emergency, and funnily enough, I had already chosen that as one of the Christmas episodes before I got this call, which is a bit odd. But I kind of knew, because of that episode and because of what I'd learned through doing the podcast, I kind of knew what I needed to do, how I needed to approach this. What I was probably not prepared for was the emotional roller coaster of having a few weeks to make every room accessible to an electrician. And it really was a roller coaster. It really was. It was terrifying and it was exhausting and it was a lot of things. And that's what I'm going to talk about today, because one of the things I really try to do on this podcast is have a really good balance between talking about things on the one hand that are practical and on the other hand that are emotional or informative, so we can understand ourselves better, because this is such an odd illness to have. I think understanding ourselves better and recognizing ourselves in what we hear from another hoarder that we might not recognize anywhere else. And so I've done the practical episode on de-hoarding in an emergency. So this is the more mental health, emotional one, having very recently gone through it. So once I had got through that initial absolutely frozen in terror few days, I started to make gradual progress, and a lot of the time I managed to stay reasonably pragmatic. I think I knew there was an awful lot to do, But I also knew that the only way to do an awful lot is one bit at a time. And so I would have moments of, I'd be sorting through this particular pile, and then I would look around and I would have moments of thinking like, what's the point in bothering with this little pile when I'm surrounded by mountains? But I was mostly able to kind of bring myself back to, yeah, but the way you deal with mountains is one step at a time, and you can't deal with the whole without dealing with a whole lot of little bits. And so at least some of the time I was able to keep kind of plodding along, making progress, trying to get rid of like the visible rubbish first and all that kind of practical stuff. And I was mostly, well, I don't know about mostly, but I was certainly some of the time able to keep that panic and terror and horror somewhat under control by kind of spotting that it was there and then just redirecting myself to what I was doing and why. So I would be bubbling about doing this and that, and then I would go, this is pointless, it's terrifying, I don't know what to do, this is awful. And then I was quite often able to say, it is pretty awful, but redirect your energy to what you're doing and just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Just keep doing the next thing. Just keep doing the next thing. Because all of it is a series of next things. And so if I do this thing and then the next thing and then the next thing, eventually I will have done a lot of things. And so I was surprised by how well I was able to hold on to that pragmatic me for a decent amount of the time. And then there were the periods of paralysis. So like when I first got the call, there were several days paralysis. And then maybe a week in, a couple of things went wrong and I was panicking a bit, but mostly on top of it. And then it sounds daft, but I was panicking, but trying to keep a lid on it. And then a spider crawled up me, which I spotted right as it was on my shoulder. And I fully freaked out. I leapt into the air and I knocked it off and I screamed and I panicked and just because I was already dealing with a couple of tricky situations, I just shut down. I just shut down. I was like, I cannot do this. It is fully impossible. It is pointless to try. I am going to bed. And I was essentially in bed for like a weekend. I could not see any way forward. I just completely shut down. This was impossible. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I knew I was not going to get the electrical testing. Now, bear in mind, I had no choice about whether I was going to get the electrical testing, but that didn't matter for that weekend. I could not deal. I could not deal. I was absolutely shut down. And then on the Monday, because I took some time off work, I have a few days holiday left. And then when I got this call, one of the first things I did two really practical things, actually, before I got paralyzed. I'd forgotten this. The first thing I did was I booked the next week off work. And the second thing I did was I booked a charity collection from home, which was 2 days before the electrical testing was going to be, because I figured I needed that accountability. Somebody would turn up at my house expecting a donation, but also if things went as well as I hoped, there would be a lot of donations to go and it would just be easier to have someone show up and take them than it would for me to get them out of the house and into the car and to a shop. And it was interesting, actually. The charity shop collection is something I've not done before because I wasn't 100% happy with how it worked. But I did it in this circumstance for a couple of reasons. One was, as you know, my phrase for last year was it'll do. And while this charity shop collection wasn't perfect, it would do. And the other reason was, if I feel bad because maybe I don't recycle something properly or something like that, what I remind myself is that I'm not dealing with a normal amount of rubbish, or in this case, I'm not dealing with a normal amount of donations. I'm dealing with an extreme situation. And if I do it imperfectly now, that is because I want to create a setting in my home that makes it so much easier to do it correctly in the future. So I'm kind of setting the circumstances. I'm creating the conditions where I can be more conscious with who I donate to, or I can be more conscious with exactly which bits of rubbish get recycled and which don't. Whereas now I'm in a extreme situation, and with this electrical testing being booked, I was in an extra extreme situation. So on the grounds that doing the donation imperfectly this time would help me to do better donations in the future, and on the grounds that it would do, I booked that. Then I went into paralysis. I still don't know how I had that presence of mind to do those two very clever things, but I did. So anyway, I'd had the paralysed weekend, and then it got to the Monday and I wasn't at work because I'd booked the week off. And I started thinking, it will really annoy me if I've taken annual leave and then I don't do anything with it. It will feel like a waste of annual leave. If I'm not going to do anything in the house, I may as well be at work because I get time off over Christmas anyway. Why take an extra week off before Christmas? It didn't make any sense. And so I started thinking, okay, the electrical testing is still absolutely impossible. I can't envisage any way that could happen. However, I have a week ahead of me without work. Maybe I can try and make some more progress, not for electrical testing, but for me, because I deserve things to be better in here. And so I really gently started taking action again. I just kind of gingerly picked up a pack of rubbish bags. I just gradually, through that day, through a couple of days, started taking some action. And within a few days, I was resigned again to the fact that the electrical testing would happen, it would have to happen, and all I could do was my best to prepare it, to prepare for it. And so then I was back into pragmatic, and I was mostly managing the rising panic. I was mostly managing the shame, the anticipated shame of somebody coming in here. And I knew there was no way in a couple of weeks I could make my house look like it wasn't hoarded. That wasn't possible. But what I could do was make sure that they had access to what they needed to, or at least what I could do my utmost to do, was make sure they had access to what they needed to, and that I was on track to at least try. And so from there, I mostly flitted between pragmatic, I don't enjoy this, but I'm doing it because it has to be done, and terror, where I anticipated the shame of somebody coming in, where I imagined and imagined and imagined how awful it would be, where I looked around me and couldn't see any way that I could achieve any of this. And I was going between those two for most of the time. Sometimes the pragmatism won out, sometimes the terror did. But I managed to keep on going. And then by the last couple of days before the electrician was due, I was then hit by just absolute exhaustion and despair. I was physically exhausted. I'd injured my shoulder, but had to just keep going. So trying to get, I don't know how many rubbish bags out of the house. I don't know how many donation bags out of the house. Just keeping going and on and on and on with an injured shoulder was not my favourite thing. But yeah, those last couple of days were the hardest in terms of the absolute emotional exhaustion. And then on the morning of the visit, I had got to a place where it was mortifying, but the electrician could access what he needed to access. And then he left and I was so glad it was done. Still mortified every time I think about it, horrified, ashamed, all of that. But I got it done and my house is better than it was a month ago, which I'm glad about. Do you want to be a de-hoarding darling? You can be now at overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk/darling. If you love the podcast and want a bit extra, you can finally sign up to subscribe. Members will get an exclusive monthly post with an additional top tip, some podcast and music recommendations, and a personal update from me about how things are going. Find out the full details at overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk/darling.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So I'm going to talk about the things that helped, first of all, because there have been things that definitely helped. One of the things that genuinely helped was a saying that I've talked about on the podcast before, which is when people don't know where to start and will often delay starting because they don't know the perfect place to start. And what I've come to believe over the course of all of this, of doing the podcast, is that there are times where it's wise to start in a particular place, but most of the time, what I say to myself and to listeners is it's all got to be done, so it doesn't especially matter which bit you do first. It just do what's in front of you, or do what catches your eye, or it doesn't matter. And so if I was freaking out about the overwhelming amount I had to do, and I was thinking, well, I'm doing this, but maybe I should be doing that, or maybe I should be over there, maybe it's worse here, maybe it's... I would remind myself, it's all got to be done. So it doesn't especially matter which bit I'm doing right now, as long as I'm doing something. As long as I'm doing something that's moving me forward, as long as I'm de-hoarding somewhere, it doesn't matter if it's in the front room or the kitchen or the bedroom. It's just I've got to be doing something that's moving this process forward. And related to that, I managed to turn that into a new one for me, which is there would be bits where I would come across something I really didn't want to have to deal with. Whether it was an onion that had fallen off a table some time ago and was now developing its own life form, or whether it was a bag of rubbish that ripped and the entire contents fell out, or whatever it was, or a spillage I hadn't even noticed I'd done at some point in the past. Those gross bits that I quite often just, I can't deal with that. What I would say to myself as a kind of variation on it's all got to be done, so just do this bit, was I'm going to have to deal with this at some point, so why not now? At some point I have to clean up this spillage. At some point I have to rescue that onion. So why not now? Because if I don't do it now, I'll have to do it in a week or in a year or tomorrow or in an hour. So just do it. And it kind of helped. Kind of helped for the really unpleasant bits. Another thing I found that really helped was having a bit of a plan, but not a rigid one. So I made a chart of every day I had, and I divided it up into morning, afternoon, evening, and then I would allocate a particular room or a particular spot for each of those slots. And I made that so that I didn't feel like I was flailing, so that I felt I had something guiding me. But I didn't make it to be a rigid rule. And so what I was finding was that I quite often wasn't sticking to the plan. But as long as I was doing something, that didn't matter. So if the plan said I'd be working on the kitchen on Tuesday afternoon, but I had got into the zone in the bedroom that morning, I would just carry on with that. It was useful to have it as a bit of structure, but not structure that I had to adhere to when something else was more interesting to me at that moment. Again, as long as I was making progress, it didn't especially matter where. And booking the charity collection really helped. Partly because it was just practical. Somebody literally turning up at your house and taking, in my case, giant laundry bags of clothes and kitchen stuff and all sorts was a godsend. I didn't have to go out and risk distracting myself. I didn't have to lug it out to the car. None of that. Somebody came and took it. But it also really helped because it was a goal to work towards. I wanted it to be worth their journey. So I didn't want to have nothing to give them or just have a tiny bag of something. I wanted it to be worth their journey. And so that motivated me as well. So that was genuinely helpful, even if the charity collection in question was imperfect. A massively helpful thing, although I didn't really realise this at the time, was that I was doing it because of the electrical testing, but I was ultimately doing it for me. Throughout, as awful as it all was, and it was awful, I did have moments of going, oh, this is nicer though. It is nicer when you've not got all those bags of rubbish in the hallway that you've never taken out, even though you put them there optimistically, assuming you'd take them out all the time because they were in the hallway. And so those moments of, oh, this room does look better for me, as much as for the service, for the testing, I think kept me going, and it certainly got me restarted after that weekend of paralysis and despair, was kind of sod the electrical testing. I deserve a nicer home. Another thing that really helped was that because I told my therapist about the hoarding, it meant I had an in real life person who I could freak out with. And freak out I did. It was really good to have that outlet and somebody who is really non-judgmental and supportive. So that was great. Another thing that helped was this podcast. I realized through doing it, through doing the preparation for the electrical testing, that this podcast has kind of been training me for this. It has equipped me with so much more, first of all, knowledge about the disorder and how it works. Also, understanding of myself and my thought processes and what goes wrong in my thinking and what can help to right that. But also skills. It's equipped me with so many more skills. And had I got this call 5 years ago, 3 years ago, it would have been so much more devastating. It would have been, I would have been in the same situation, but with no toolbox, with nothing in terms of, okay, what I need to do is this. I had, part of why it had got so bad was I felt so ill-equipped because I did not know how to fix this. And while I still can't say I know how to fix this, I wish I did. What I do have, because of this podcast and the brilliant people I've interviewed and the research I've done and the listeners who've sent me messages and told me their stories, what I do have is a toolbox with lots of little things, all of which I could call upon when needed. And that was invaluable. And I think the other thing that helped, even though this was also the worst, was having a deadline. I am a very deadline-oriented person in all of my life, and knowing that this guy was coming on that particular day meant I had to stay focused as much as I could, and that helped. Now, there have been benefits. My home is easier to get around. It has sped up my de-hoarding. There is less to do now than there would have been if this hadn't happened. I'd got, I think, in a bit of a rut. I didn't know what to do next or where to go next, and I was a bit stuck, and it's got me out of that rut. It's made me deal with some of the parts of the house that I'd avoided for years. Now, that makes it sound like I live in a vast mansion. What I mean is, like, that corner of that room, I know that's really bad, so I'll just walk past it as if it's not there. Or that particular pile of bags, I feel like there's something bad in there. I get bad vibes. I'm not dealing with that. And so those bits that I've glossed over for a really long time, I've had to deal with in the same way as I've had to deal with everything else. So it's kind of broken the spell a bit from some of the bits I was most avoiding. And it has improved my home. If you came into my home now, you would still just see a massive hoard. I'm not close to being done. But compared to a month ago, it's a lot better, and I can see the difference, and we know what a difference that makes. When we can see a difference, it's motivating. So there have been benefits, but I need to insist on saying that that is not the same as saying this was a blessing in disguise, or that I'm glad this happened because no. It was traumatically stressful. I went through so many emotions. I went through such physical exhaustion. I actively hated a lot of it. And I would really rather it hadn't happened. I'm not going to lie and say, thank goodness I had electrical testing. Because no, it was horrible. And while I'm glad of the progress I've made, and I'm glad that it's hopefully got me out of that rut, it was very difficult, and I'm not going to pretend it's all happy, happy. So the big question, now that the testing has happened, is what now? And I know for sure that I cannot keep up that pace. It was stressful and it was tiring and it was not at all sustainable. I pushed through so many of my own barriers and boundaries to get to where I did. And that is not something I can do on an ongoing basis. It's not something I want to do on an ongoing basis. I'm glad to be back in a life where I can go to work and go out and see my friends and do things other than grab another bag of bin bags, roll of bin bags. Mind you, I have bags of rolls of bin bags, so I suppose it works. But while I can't keep up that pace, I can keep moving forward and making all efforts to not slip back. That if I slip back from this, I will be so devastated. If things get worse again, that will feel awful. One real positive is that in the past, I've often reacted to things like this in a kind of rebellious way, in that when whatever it is over, I will be extra messy, like deliberately, like as if I'm getting revenge against the stress. And obviously that is misguided and it's counterproductive. And I wondered whether that would kick in this time, but it didn't. And I'm convinced that that is because I did have those moments of reminding myself that this was for me, that in the long run, this would benefit me. Electrical testing, gas servicing, all of that sometimes has to be done. But it's me who's in here day in, day out. And because I was able, at least some of the time, to bring it back to this is better for me, my surroundings are better for me like this, I haven't gone to that immediate, haha, I'm not going to take any rubbish out for a week, for a month, for, you know. In fact, in a bid for that to not happen, I made sure to take more rubbish out after the electrician had left, to make clear to myself and the universe that I was going to carry on getting rubbish out of my house. And it's been hard. I'm not going to put a glossy shine on this and say and all lived happily ever after. I still live in a hoard. I live in a hoard with access to electrical sockets and less rubbish, and that has benefited the charity, and that's good. All of that's good, but I am not close to finishing, and I am not close to being in a position where I can let up. I can certainly reduce that intensity. I'm not spending all day every day either de-hoarding or berating myself for not de-hoarding or being a curled up paralyzed mess. I can get some balance back, but I need to keep moving forward. So that is what my emotions were doing in the 3 or 4 weeks I ended up having to get access to my electrical sockets for a random man. And I couldn't have done it without you all, even though you didn't know it was happening. The fact that I make this podcast for you means that I've learned so much for me, and I really appreciate that. I want to make sure I'm talking about the things you want to hear about. Are there things you wish the podcast covered, or things you want to hear more of that I've already covered? You can let me know at overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk/topic. So shout out this week to the Learning Leader Show, where in this very short clip, James Clear was talking. Have a listen.
Some people's personalities are they would rather worry about everything that could possibly happen and feel like they can prepare for as much as possible than to deal with problems in the moment. But if you trust yourself to figure it out, then you can just face the problems as they arise, and then you kind of work your way through it. And eventually you build up this confidence where you're like, yeah, like I can handle that.
Now, I am working on it. I'm working on it. Not always successfully, but I'm working on it. I will link to the Learning Leader Show in the show notes at overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk. Okay, thank you for listening, and I will speak to you next time. Thank you for listening to the Overcome Compulsive Hoarding with That Hoarder podcast. You can find more online at overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk. You can find me on Twitter at That Hoarder and on Facebook at Overcome Compulsive Hoarding with That Hoarder. To find out more about how you can support the podcast and the overall project, go to overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk/support and do subscribe to the podcast to make sure you don't miss any future episodes. There may be links in this podcast that earn me money. This doesn't come at any extra cost to you if you ever make a purchase through the links, and it helps to support the future of the podcast.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Jen from the I'm Mom So Hard podcast.
Now listen, we don't want to brag, but yes, we are moms. We're average moms.
Below average sometimes.
But we're not just moms.
Yeah, we don't want you to think that we're just moms. And we're not just supermodels either. We're not just pieces of meat.
That's right. We're not even close.
Yeah.
But we are comedians and we're also best friends.
We're also best-selling authors.
And television writers.
We created a viral web series.
With over 300 million views.
Okay,
what's up?
Bragging.
Who's bragging?
That is bragging,
and we were in our swimsuits. Again, not supermodels.
We're also podcasters.
Are we podcasting right now?
Not right now, but we have been podcasting for 3 years. We're bringing laughs every Tuesday to women and moms everywhere.
And one dude who's a sophomore in college. His name's Greg. Whatever, he messaged us and made me feel cool.
So nice. Amazing. Please listen to the I'm Mom So Hard podcast on Acast.
Woo!
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. acast.com.